And today's meeting theme is emotional and spiritual crisis. Frankie, you promised to share your experiences, strength, and hope. Please.
How are we doing? Yeah, okay. Thank you for that. Katrina, thank you. I'm a bit nervous. Sorry. A bit nervous. Thank you. I have got to say that when I got asked to do this share, I don't know if any of you guys noticed, but I'm from London, England. I have an accent, so I might not sound English. But the topic is emotional and spiritual crisis. And I thought, what the fuck of, you know, where did they come up with emotional and spiritual crisis? So, and by the way, in case anybody's a real addict in the room, my name's Frankie, I'm an addict. Just in case you forgot. Yeah. Thanks to the sound guy as well. Thank you. Because when I'm thinking of emotional and spiritual crisis, it's very easy to think of a solution. Okay, we'll talk about that in a while. But I'm thinking of experience. So emotional and spiritual crisis, when I was in an emotional crisis and a spiritual crisis, is around my using. And I don't really want to talk about my using because it might not be like your using. You might be worse than me. You know, I don't know. You know, I was, to coin a phrase from my old sponsor, I would eat dog worming tablets if you sold them to me. You know, I would take, yeah, medication for animals, which I did. So not everybody does that. That's not everybody, but that's not addiction. That's just compulsive use of drugs. So emotional, you know, I'm thinking I need to have some experience in recovery here with this. Spiritual crisis. Now, the book tells me that we all have a different interpretation around spirituality. So what's my spiritual crisis as such? So spiritual, one thing I've taken from the basic text, and I like the basic books, spiritual, it has to be practical. You know, because if I've got some kind of, how could I put it, spiritual principle. What's the difference between a spiritual principle and a regular principle? You know, in a room full of addicts, what's the difference? The difference for us addicts is if it's a spiritual principle, it costs us something. Like, for example, honesty is a spiritual principle for addicts. Now, to be a principled person in recovery and be honest, it costs me because I have to be honest in myself. It doesn't matter whether you're honest. I have to be honest in myself. So that's what I'm explaining is my interpretation. My emotional crisis that I used to have in using would be if I had some money and I wanted to buy drugs and I had to wait for everybody else to fuck off so I could go and get my drugs without being found out. Until my addiction took me to a place where it was fun, it's not fun anymore, and now I'm in a place where I don't care whether you know or not. I cannot hide it anymore. You know, it's that thing of when I told people I'm an addict and I go to NA, they said no shit. You know, it's like fucking, it's quite obvious. And I'm sorry if I'm, I say this because in England they're very sensitive. But I'm sorry if I'm using profanity and swearing. But, you know, I do. Other sharers don't. So I haven't developed that well. In May, I was 21 years. and that means a lot to me. So, and I hope this doesn't trigger anyone, because I've got lung disease because of smoking crack cocaine, you know, so... That's good. Here we go. Okay, so... Okay. So now I wind the tape forward. I'm in 2003. I want to be in recovery. I've been in recovery for 9 years, or attending meetings. I've been going to meetings for 9 years and doing some step work and having a sponsor and doing some service. And I keep using. I can't stop using. I get 6 months clean, and then I pick up and use. What the fuck is wrong with me? What's happening? I can't stop. Maybe I am a real addict. Not like you guys. You know, maybe I'm one of these addicts who can't be saved. So I'm desperate and I want to stop. And treatment is nothing to do with NA. Don't get treatment confused with NA. Treatment's for mentally ill people, yeah? So after 8 times of going to treatment, coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I got a sponsor who told me the mistake I'd made was not knowing what was wrong with me. But I thought I was an addict. And what he pointed out to me was, we all differ in different degrees of illness and rates of sickness. And this is from out of our book. And I'm thinking, wow. He also pointed out that I was so sick that I didn't know I was sick. So I had to do more than the average bear. I had to work harder at this. It's like, but why me? What? I'm okay. I just have a problem with drugs, you know. No, actually, I have a problem with money. I don't have enough money. The drugs are okay, yeah. If I had enough money, everything would be okay. So I get to that place where I start working a program. I understand what's wrong with me. I'm an allergy addict. If I take medication, I have to be very fucking careful. Because I always think 2 paracetamol are stronger than... You have paracetamol, you understand, you know? If you have a toothache, take 4. Saves taking 1 later. You know, it's all that kind of... I don't know why I do. I always want more. As you might notice, I'm in recovery. I always want more. I've grown in recovery. Food is nice, yeah? Sex is nice, food is nice, you know? The drugs get me in trouble, you know. So I get to a place where I'm 2 years clean. All I can talk is recovery. I know that I have a reaction if I'm around drugs or take drugs. I understand what they say in the rooms about if you hang around with the hairdressers, eventually you'll get a haircut. So I don't keep around people who take drugs. I still party, still enjoy life. And as recovery gets better and I start to travel and do stuff and go to different places and I start to get older, my children start to grow up. My daughter, who I saw before I left England, has a problem with my granddaughter. She's 15 years old and doesn't obey the rules. Now, I said to my daughter, who grew up in Narcotics Anonymous, she doesn't like Narcotics Anonymous, my daughter, but she grew up in Narcotics Anonymous, she said that the trouble she's having with her child is that she's 15 and she doesn't listen. And I said to my daughter, you have experience, because when you were 15, you were pregnant. So you can deal with her. And she says, Dad, shut the fuck up. You know, it's like, but, you know, it's I have experience. I'm only here to share experience. And So in my journey, as I've moved forward, my life has improved. I have money in my bank because I don't spend too much. When I was 5 years clean, I had a lot of credit cards. Now I don't have credit cards. I've learned in recovery. Because I've been in that crisis of thinking, how the fuck am I going to get the money to pay for this? Compulsive spending. It's all part of addiction. The mental problem that I have. Being greedy in short term. I'm very greedy. I have to be careful. So I'm going to move this forward for experience. 7 years ago, my wife started getting ill. My wife's in recovery. My wife has more clean time than I do. Men, do you know what it's like to be in a relationship with a woman who has more clean time than you? Fucking hell. Every time you do something wrong, she turns around and says, one day you'll understand. It is very difficult. I'm an alpha male. You know, so... But joking aside, my wife started to get ill. And as my wife started to get ill, we started to argue. She's starting to get ill. She has an illness as well as an addiction. So as she starts to get ill, she starts to drive me fucking crazy. And so we do what addicts do. We take inventory. But ours isn't inventory. Ours becomes an autopsy. You know, we start fucking delving into, you said this while you did this, and I feel like this. You know, so men, always concede. Yeah, always say, you are right. Always. Don't be stupid. Don't listen to this program nonsense, or the Americans. Don't listen. Thank you. So, okay. So, as my wife starts to get ill, I start to... I'm clean. I work a program. I have a home group. I live in Bath, West London, West England. Thursday night, just for today, home group. Welcome to come. 15 people, 5 from AA. The headaches they are. But they come, they come. They'll learn. I try to be supportive. It's difficult because when I'm an addict, the addict that I am, I love my wife and I want to support her. And I have a saying, what I do, and I do this with sponsees, is I'll go and get my Superman cape and put it on and go, I'll save you, I know what to do, thinking that I can solve all the problems. But I'm the one who's having the emotional crisis. I'm the person who has to look at what I do. I'm the person who has to have the belief system. And I need to add on to this because some of you guys might have guessed by now. I'm an atheist in recovery. I don't have the higher power. I tried that game for a good 18 years. It doesn't work for me. And I listened to a lady from Philadelphia 20-odd years ago, and she said, just ask yourself, Frankie, what is my problem? And you know what? In the NA textbook, it says we need to go within. So I do that. I ask myself, what is my problem? And I understand. My problem is I am misinterpreting things. I'm here to help, not to rescue. I'm here to show that solution that I have, what I mentioned at the beginning. Emotional and spiritual crisis. The solution to emotional and spiritual crisis is love. It's very simple. That is the antidote to any emotional or spiritual crisis. Once I'm in recovery, I have to get into recovery. I have to do the step work. I have to have the sponsor. I'm sicker than average bears. I have to do service. I have to be part of. I have to understand that with our steps, we say we. You, hey, step two, if anybody's not done the steps yet, step two, you plus me is a power greater than me. My friend David, okay? If I've got a problem with David and I get angry, I'm in recovery, yeah? I can beat him up if I want. I'm strong now. But it would help me. David's bigger than me. It would help me if I get Katia to come along and us two. Katia plus me can beat David up. Me on my own, I can't. That's step two. You plus me. Makes sense, yeah? So it's quite simple. Same with emotional stuff. I need to reach out. When I understand that I don't feel good, I need to phone my sponsor. I need to phone my recovery support network, people in recovery. I've learned to keep away from people who are negative, because people who are negative always find the problem. Oh yes, your wife, she's not doing good, is she? She's not going to do very well. What are you going to do, Frankie? It's like, I much prefer to ring my friend up to, hey, why don't you cook her something fucking nice? You know, do something positive. You know, I'm in recovery. Let's enjoy this stuff. So, I don't do as much service, but I'm happy. I have some money in the bank. I'm happy. I don't think about using. In fact, I see addicts, and they fry at me a little bit. And for me, that's quite natural. I'm an addict who used for 25 years, and I look at people in addiction, and I think, shit. Keep away from me. I'm not there like I was when I was 5 years clean. I must go and help this new person. You guys that are 2 years clean, you go and fucking talk to the new person, not me. I'm 21 years clean. I'm here to help any 10-year-olds who are having problems with their relationships. That's what I'm here with. I'm here to help anyone, you know, and say the obvious. Keep it simple. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to experience the love of this fellowship. We only keep what we have by giving it away. My experience of being a member of Narcotics Anonymous for 29 years is if you talk shit in meetings, you get shit back. If you share your message of recovery in meetings, you get more recovery. As a selfish addict, that's good. So I try and help out. I love recovery. I love being part of. I love being with you guys. I love coming to conventions. Shall I share some regrets? They tell us not to have regrets in recovery. I have fucking regrets. It's important. I have regrets. I'm 63 years old. Fucking 63 years old. Why didn't I find this earlier? My life is so fantastic. Why was I fucking about at 32? Still bits of tin foil and shit. I used to smoke thin Rizla paper because I thought I was being healthy. What the fuck is that about? Organic Rizla paper. Fuck shit. You know, why didn't I do this earlier? You know, recovery's, you know, when I came into recovery, I wore glasses. Quick story, using story. I'd been taking acid. Not everybody takes acid. Been taking acid for, it was about 4 days. Things had got really bad. And then when I came off the acid, I couldn't see properly. And I went to the optician, and they told me I need to wear glasses. So I thought, logically, I need to take some more acid. So I still couldn't see properly. So I had some glasses. Had glasses for about a week. I broke my glasses. Everybody, when the glasses are new, you break them easy. It's true, yeah? New glasses. So I have sellotape on my glasses. Okay? I come to Narcotics Anonymous. I put sellotape. Sellotape doesn't work, so I use sticking plaster, okay, on my glasses. I'm looking fucking ugly from addiction. Addiction's making me look sucked in cheeks, thin, looking fucking terrible. I've worked the 12 steps. I don't mean I've worked the 12 steps. With a sponsor, I've written down, done step work, and I've done that a couple of times. Magic didn't happen for me. Magic happened for me when I started doing step work with a new person, because I started seeing all their mistakes and hearing all their damage, and I was thinking, fucking hell, you're fucked up. I started to feel better about me. That's when the magic happened for me. I was like, fuck you. So, no, it's true. So, I'm working with new people. I all of a sudden get to this stage with my sponsor where it's emotional, spiritual, and physical. I need to stop smoking. Because it's spiritual. I need to be clean. I mean really fucking clean. I need to get... So I start eating healthy. Probably too much, but healthy. I stop smoking. That was so difficult, stopping smoking, honestly. So, so difficult. But I managed it. It was not easy. So for the past 18 years of my recovery, I've been eating well, doing step work, helping new people, being an active member, coming to NA, getting involved in conventions, flying to different countries, Croatia convention, America. My life has totally changed. When I first came in, somebody said to me, buy a black tie because you'll go to funerals. Well, fuck that. Get yourself a passport because you'll travel. That's what I say. If you're a newcomer, get a passport. Yeah? So I'm doing all that. So I'm travelling. I've got some money. I've got a wife. Fucking, that's great, isn't it? I've got an amazing wife. I'm doing service. My children have grown up. Happy days. You know, things are getting good. You know what? I'm 63 years old. Because of the step work that I've done, I've become better looking. Look. So don't waste your money on cosmetics. Don't go and get fucking, maybe it's Maybelline or any shit like that, or L'Oreal. Just do some step work. And all the stress will start to fucking dissipate and go away. Eat well, live well, come to NA, especially newcomers, go to the dances. What does the dance do? It shows you, how are we doing? Yeah, thank you. It shows you at the dance what self-obsession is. If you go to the dance and when you're new, you're kind of trying to, you know, when you get to David's clean time, you don't care anymore. You're out there breaking shapes, you know, it's like fucking, hey. So all of that has been possible by coming to NA. I've learned to laugh at me. I'm the funniest person in the room because I'm silly. I'm not straight and serious anymore. I'm relaxed. Life's good. I'm a happy member. And you guys can have that too. It's so simple. Right, okay, let's do the bad part. I have lung disease. I have DVTs. I have high blood pressure. I have hepatitis. It rolls on. Why? Because of consequences from using. I don't heal as fast as I used to. I'm starting to get a bald patch. You know, hey, that's fucking life. But I'm happy and I'm living the best life I can. And Narcotics Anonymous and the program and you guys have helped me achieve that. But I have to become part of for it to work. Thank you for showing me love. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.